Hi everyone, I'm David. I support Gen X Grown Up on Patreon, and you should too. Don't you want to keep this great content coming? So you know what to do. Go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon and just do it.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be French fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to this backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
You know, 40 years ago, pop music was just finding its voice in a post-disco environment. In this episode, we're going to remember some of the top hits of 1981 as determined by the Billboard Music Charts. 40 whole years ago, some of these songs.
I'm going to feel super old this show.
Today? Oh, now you're going to feel super old.
No, finally.
Especially. This is the thing.
No, I always feel old. Today I'm going to feel super old.
Okay.
Just the fact that you use the term super, that makes you old anyway. Super old. Yeah, you're old super just old. By saying that.
I don't know what the right. Current even term is for that. Like, what would be appropriate?
Not like me, I'm only hella old, so it's not as bad.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Terrible.
You get proper slang really helps.
You sounded really old in that one, but keep going.
Yeah, I know.
It was 2000s Gwen Stefani reference. Nice.
Hey, I ain't no hollaback boy. Okay. Anyway, before we get into these great songs from 1981, it's time for some fourth listener email. And, you know, this one, I think, George, you should read.
What? You gonna let George read one?
Our patron and fourth listener, Stew Monkey, wrote in, and the subject line is George and Daria.
Daria.
Oh, yay. Not only are you gonna force me to read this email, but also, I didn't even get to introduce it. I'm just being stuck into the firing line. All right, fine. Here we go.
I'm trying to tee you up and really set you up
I
for
see.
Success.
Yeah. You've set me up for many things. Success is not one of them,
not
sir.
Not one of them.
All right, here we go. From Stew Monkey, he says, "Yo, John, just listened to the latest episode. Quite interested in checking out the profanity documentary on Netflix, as we all are. And if you don't get a chance to watch that, you can just listen to one of our podcasts. We provide plenty of profanity.
True. George will hook you up. That's right.
That's right. And the other media you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Wanted to drop you a line and say, in your opening intro lately, George's How You Doing, Guys? Sounds about as exciting as watching the animated character Daria from MTV's Beavis and Butthead.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Oh, ouch. Mm. So that happened.
Yeah. I'm boring now. I'm like a damn animated character from the MTV's 90s era. Come on.
Now, George, you're a lot of things, but boring is not one of them.
Well, that's what he's saying.
He just said you were low energy. It's okay. We all have off days.
It's okay.
It's okay. You suck. It's all right. Just take it. Here we go. Let's see. He says, I think George needs to up his chipperness at the beginning of the show. Well, this will certainly cause me to do that.
Right.
Similarly to his games intro later.
Oh, see, it's kind of like a compliment. Your games one is so energetic.
Yeah, but that one I don't want to do anymore.
Well, you should have plenty of energy for the intro then. Okay.
I know. I guess I'll have to. Now I got to come up with a new intro to the intro. All right. picking, of course, since my last few emails have praised George. Okay. So he's trying to make up for all the niceties that he's showered my way. I figured I needed to jab him some to earn points with you and Mo. Keep up the rad work.
We already love you, Stew Monkey.
So he's trying.
He's pandering. Yeah.
And we appreciate that, actually.
At my expense. Wow. Well, of course you do.
Well, yeah.
He finishes it off by one of our favorite type of closings. He says, may the fourth listener be with you, Stew Monkey. Mm-hmm. Well, he's at least with two of us. So
he's not with George right now.
He's not with George right now. He's decidedly against George.
He's with me and Mo and me. Yep.
But it is fun always to hear from you guys. Stew Monkey, seriously, just kidding. You know, we love you. And we definitely appreciate all your emails. You actually give us quite a bit of really fun insights after we've done these podcasts.
Yep. Thanks so much, Stew Monkey. Hey, if you want your email featured here on the show, if you'd like to defend George, you can do that too. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single one, and most of them make the show just like Stew Monkey's. Okay, I think it is time to dig in to some 1981 pop music. Mo, are you ready?
I'm ready.
George?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, that's one for Stew Monkey, now one for me. George, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Let's go, John.
Oh, my God, don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, no. That disturbs my worldview. You can't do that.
Right. Excited George just isn't. It's cognitive dissonance for me. I can't.
Yeah, my brain cannot connect it to
parallel universes are splitting as we speak.
Get ready to ride into the 80s with 80s Wave. The 80s Wave is packed with almost 2 hours of new wave hits from 24 of your favorite artists. Get these two brand new CDs free with your paid subscription to Entertainment Weekly.
Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack. And it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are right. things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children, Sorry, Stew Monkey. Mess that up. No, this is our introduction to hit songs on the Billboard Hot 100 list from 1981. All of these songs are number one hits for a period of time on that chart in 1981. I love the music from this era. This is what I really grew into teenage adulthood from, were these songs. What about you guys?
This is really starting the music that I loved. So I mentioned in the intro that it's kind of post-disco, and a couple of the songs you can even feel the disco influence that we're going to talk about here.
Sure, yeah.
But it wasn't yet the heyday of what I think of as 80s rock. It was really kind of early, but you could start to feel certainly some of these and that we're going to talk about are still on my playlist. So yeah, definitely the spawn of the great 80s era.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mo, what about you? I know you're a couple of decades older than us, but
yeah.
You probably enjoyed some of this stuff if you can remember any of it.
Oh geez. back in the day when we used to beat rocks. I mean, so yeah, how old I am. I was a freshman in high school in 81.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I say wow, but I was a freshman in high school in 85, so, and I'm the youngest of us, so not that far off.
Mm-hmm. So these songs, but what I found interesting from looking, you know, when we got this list together, it's like this list is all sorts of music. I mean, it's all over the place. As far as style.
It is, right?
Yep.
It's varied quite a bit. I mean, I know it all gets lumped into pop, but it definitely has influences from all over the place. Like John mentioned, there's some disco influences in there. There's some country influences in some of this stuff.
Yep.
There's definitely some rock influences in some of it. I mean, there's stuff all over the range. And normally when we do one of these top 10 lists, we have our top 10, and then each one of us usually gets to put in an honorable mention. So we have 13 songs.
Mm-hmm. Like a group determined
list. Yeah. We don't have that in this case because the Hot 100 chart determined the list for us, but we do have 13 songs. The only songs we left off the list are songs that were number one for just 1 week during that year.
Right.
Yeah, that everything else is on this list. Right. And there are exactly 13 of those songs that qualify at 2 weeks or more.
Yeah.
The first song on the list that stayed number one for 2 weeks is a classic, not only of the pop charts, but also cinema. 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Mm, okay, yeah. Good song.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and all.
You know, that song really takes me back. We were talking about 9 to 5 not too long ago in one of our movie lists.
Yeah.
Right?
When we're
talking about Dolly Parton and
because
that whole
crew. Because it had its 40th anniversary. It was like a 40th anniversary comedy or something. Right.
Yep. And I'm telling you, this song, it is equal in my mind to that film.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah.
You couldn't get away from this song on the radio. I mean, it was playing all the time.
This is an oppressed workers anthem just in the same vein as like, take this job and shove it. It's like indignant.
Yes.
I deserve more. You damn boss. And it's just, but it's Dolly Parton. She's so sweet, but she's got that little gravel in her voice. She's upset. And it really is just a snapshot of the movie. It's written for it. And so why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those songs that I could see tied into office work stories for future generations. Kind of like this could have been in an episode of The Office at some point. I could have seen them paying homage to that. I mean, it wasn't, but I could have seen it. It could have been in so many things. Could have been in Office Space, that movie. I mean,
sure.
It absolutely speaks to the culture, which was becoming larger at that point in 1981. We were transitioning from the factory working hard class thing more into the corporate office structure in the 80s. That was the start of the Reagan era and Greed Is Good from Gordon Gekko and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, here's Dolly Parton though. She's like, I got to go to work from 9 to 5. This boss doesn't appreciate me, all this stuff. And it also denotes something that we no longer have, if you guys haven't noticed. Her song title is 9 to 5 because that was considered an 8-hour day back then because
that's
the
working
business
day.
Is paid for the lunch hour.
Yep.
We don't get that anymore. But so
it's
people often ask me, why was it called 9 to 5? Why was it not called 9 to 5? That's why.
Yeah.
There you go. Yep. And it was also the time that women were starting to go to work because the economy was such that you needed a two-income household.
Yeah.
So, and that's a lot of what 9 to 5 was about. You know, these ladies who were just seen as secretaries and workers, and turns out they were super capable. I love this.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a great song.
Well, let's move along to the next song. This is a song that's near and dear to my heart. This was one of my 45 sing-alongs in my bedroom when I was that age. So you get the hairbrush out, you put the little 45 on your record player, and you just start jamming out. You're standing on your bed because that's the stage, and you've got I'm revealing a little too much now.
Yeah, definitely. I'm having like this Tom Cruise moment here where I see him like sliding across the floor.
He's got the stuffed animals around him. He's got Clyde Frog and Polly Prissy Pants.
Hey guys.
Oh man.
All right, well, let's just go ahead and get to it. This is Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Oh my god. Woo-hoo. Oh my god, let me tell you, this song, I mean, when I grew up, I don't care what the holiday, what the event, it could have been because it was Tuesday, it didn't matter, this song was going to play.
Yep. Oh yeah.
If somebody was having any kind of party.
It's still like one of the most requested songs at every wedding ever, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, if anyone was having a party for any reason, this song played.
Mm. And it should.
Well, of course, the thing that's so neat about it is, I don't know if Kool and the Gang planned this, but they're so not specific about what the celebration is.
Yeah.
So even though this is huge at weddings, this could be a bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This could be a birthday.
I've been to bar mitzvahs, but this is played.
This could be, it's Friday and we're done working. It just says, let's celebrate. There's an occasion and there's a million reasons to play this song. And they took advantage of every one of them.
Yep.
I did a little fact searching on this song. And apparently when the guy played the song for his mom before it was released, she says, you better get used to playing that song because you're going to be playing it for the rest of your life.
Ah, yep, you're right.
Like one of the guys in the band, you mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yep.
And
she was right.
She was dead on. I mean, they're going to be playing that song until there are no, like, there can be one member left of that group. Like, 20 years from now, there's only one guy. Like, it'll just be cool. There'll be no gang. That'll be the only guy left, and he'll still have to play this song with, like, a tape back. Or it might be just a drummer, and he just has to sit there and drum.
You know what's funny I found also about this song? Cool Again, this was their only number one.
No.
They had lots of top tens, but this is the only number one.
Huh.
Wow. That's crazy. That's kind of like Bruce Springsteen never having a number one.
Yeah, is that nuts? But yeah.
Right, it's odd. Remember the Iran hostage crisis that was going on in the early 80s?
Yeah, it started with Carter, and then it transitioned into Reagan.
That's right.
Yep.
It's like they waited until Reagan took office.
Right, and then
they were like,
some...
oh, we don't want to mess with a cowboy. And they gave him back.
That's right. When those freed 52 American hostages stepped off the boat, Celebration was what was playing when they arrived back on American soil.
Of course.
And you know what they were all thinking? They were all thinking, what the hell is this song? We've never heard this. We were captured in captivity. Nobody played this song over there.
We didn't get a chance to hear this song. What are you talking about?
Here
we'd
be like,
where's
hey.
Frank Sinatra, damn it?
They're like, hey, this is kind of catchy.
They wrote a new song just for us.
They wrote a song just for us,
yeah, that's awesome. I mean, great songs. We got to get one more, though, in on this segment. This is a song that is a little near and dear to my heart just because of my country upbringing in music. And I'm not saying this guy was strictly a country musician, because obviously he's on the Hot 100 chart here. But this is I Love a Rainy Night by Eddie Rabbit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good song. I wake up to a sunny day because I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love a rainy night. Well, I love a rainy night. Well, I love a rainy night. Ooh, ooh.
Oh, man. Love that song. Still, to this day, this is one of those songs that my parents would let me listen to in the car and not change the channel, you know, because I was always trying to get it back to the pop chart music
right,
station or whatever.
Right, because it wasn't rock. It was technically, it was released as a country song, but it was a huge crossover hit.
Yeah.
So
it
hit
released
pop charts, adult contemporary country. It was all over the place.
Wow.
Yeah, it was everywhere. And it was, and Eddie Rabbit at that time, early 80s, he was huge. I mean, he had, I don't know how many country hits at that point.
Oh, that explains why I never heard of him before this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a country artist, for sure.
Yeah. He was also very well known and had a really successful tour with another country singer named Juice Newton.
Oh, yeah.
She had a song, Mo, you might remember, called Queen of Hearts, Playing with the Queen
oh,
of
yes.
Hearts.
Yes.
That's her. Yeah. And I saw the two of them, and they both sang her Queen of Hearts song and his song at that concert in Panama City, behind the old Shipwreck Island water park.
Okay.
Like when, before it was a water park, it was just a big field, and they had set up this makeshift stage and brought them there, and they played to, I don't know, there's probably like a couple thousand people there just
that's
in the
cool.
field listening to those two play all night long. It was, I think,
nice.
What was I, 10 years old roughly, maybe 11, I don't remember when the concert was exactly, but
yep.
Oh man, love this
when
song.
I think of this song, the only thing I can think of, I love the song. Eddie Rabbit did a great song here, but what I think of more often than not is it's that Weird Al Yankovic kind of phenomenon where you think of the parody more, is the Urban Chipmunk cover of I Love a Rainy Night by Alvin and the Chipmunks. Because I had that LP. I didn't own the Eddie Rabbit album, but I had the Urban Chipmunk album, and Alvin and the Chipmunks do a great cover of this that's really faithful to it, actually. It's fun.
I don't know why, but I always associated the song with truck driving for some weird reason, and so I thought you would have that attachment to it because I know your father was a truck driver. And
yeah.
I'm not saying it says anything about truck driving in the song whatsoever, but just, I don't know why, I just always associated it with that.
Well, a lot of those in that era, early 80s, a lot of country music was truck driving songs, but there are a lot more that were bigger than that that I associate with trucking, but 8 days on the road and I'm going to make it home tonight, all that kind of stuff. But yeah.
I don't know that one either.
Mo is just all kind of contributions on this song, I'm telling you.
Screw you, country.
But I know this song, though. I do know this song.
So it's all about disco, none about country. Is that right,
no,
Mo?
No country. Yep.
My first exposure to country music is when I went to college.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
I had a roommate.
And he said exposure
really
like it was a disease. Did you notice that, John?
That's right. No, I was first infected by country.
I was never exposed to
I haven't even got my
music.
Second vaccine shot from it yet, but damn it, I was exposed to it.
I heard this place like upstate that they listen to this kind of music.
Isn't that the disgust in his voice?
Yeah, but, you know, for me, I was like,
oh, country, you're one of those people.
Oh, you like, no.
Well, I love a rainy night. It's such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face. Taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow. Showers wash all my
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
All right, so we got more hits that only lasted 2 weeks on the charts that we have to go through. Quite a few, but this first one, I don't think I've ever been to an 80s, like any kind of 80s band at the, you know, retro at the a bar here, anything that this song has not played, mm-hmm. or they haven't done a cover of it, which is okay. Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield.
And I want to call absolute bullshit this. It was only number one for 2 weeks.
I was just thinking the same thing. The phrase I had in my head was, are we sure this wasn't only for 2 weeks? But I'm the one who collected the damn data and built the spreadsheet, so I know it really was only 2 weeks.
I mean, it was probably in the top 10 forever, I'm sure.
Now, if you know how many weeks it was on the John's top 10, it's going on like 470 weeks. It's great.
There are people who associate this song with the 8675309 saying that's Jesse's girl's phone number.
That's Jesse's number, right. They turned out to build the 80s musical cinematic universe to run these songs together, right?
Oh, my goodness. And sung by Rick Springfield, who massive in the early 80s, right? I mean, he was an actor on a soap opera. Then he had the one little part on Battlestar Galactica as Apollo's younger brother who gets killed.
Yeah.
Then he goes into superstardom with these songs right after that. I mean, his name was everywhere. He ended up even doing a whole bunch of Broadway-style things in Vegas, if I remember correctly, didn't he?
I would be surprised. This is going to be sad. There's only like a couple facts I remember about him. One is that he dated Linda Blair.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
From The Exorcist.
Yep.
When she was 15.
Yep.
Yeah.
A little creepy.
And he was Australian. That's about it.
And number two, he was Australian.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
We're not associating those two things together, by the way.
Relationship there. It's just two separate facts are no correlation. But the thing is also, I mean, honestly, I can't think of another one of his songs, to be quite honest.
I mean,
I know he was popular.
This certainly dominates the headlines when it comes to Rick Springfield, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it dominates it so much. I'm almost slightly embarrassed to say that when he was super popular, we went to visit some of my cousins in Kentucky, and one of my aunts, she owned a barbershop, and I asked, and she gave me a Rick Springfield haircut.
I will pay money for that picture.
I don't know if there's one that exists.
I will pay good money.
That's going in the gallery with the mullet. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, are you kidding me?
Now, we know where his mom lives, right, John?
Yeah,
that's right.
Is dead, so.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
my mother might have the picture.
There's
pictures
somewhere.
There might be.
This song is so wonderfully creepy, though. The whole concept is, your girlfriend is awesome. I wish I had her. I'm just imagining you having sex with her and hugging her and kissing her, and it's driving me crazy.
Crazy song, isn't
it's really creepy.
It's definitely one of these stalker songs.
But it's such a good song. The lyrics just flow so well, and the rhythm and everything about it is just, you don't have to listen to the lyrics to like it. It's just a really good driving song. I love it.
It really is.
What's that police stalker song? That every breath you take, right? You put these two songs together.
Oh, yeah.
That's a creepy individual right there.
That's an A-side, B-side of a stalker right there. Yeah, it is.
With Obsession, then we're there, right?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's done some crazy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. So the next one on our list for 2 weeks on the top is Morning Train by Sheena Easton.
Oh, yeah.
My baby.
Until we put on the list, I did not connect her with this song, to be honest. I don't know why.
Oh, it was her first hit song, actually.
Thought it was somebody else. I don't know why.
Background on this song, she released another song in the UK before this song. this song was released in the UK a little bit after that as 9 to 5. That's why it's called Morning Train 9 to 5. And the reason why,
hence the confusion. Yeah,
we just talked about Dolly Parton's song 9 to 5 was released in the same time period in the US. So they switched the title of this song to Morning Train in order to keep it separate from the Dolly Parton song.
Someone was thinking.
Oddly enough, it's been remade in like 5 other languages, and I was looking at some of the titles, and none of them make any damn sense whatsoever. Like, in one place, it was the guy on the corner with the cigarette. I'm like, what the fuck? What does that mean?
You know, the weird thing about this song to me, I enjoy it, but it's such a, it doesn't match up with Sheena Easton, because Sheena Easton was such a strong woman and a feminist,
yeah,
and spoke for rights and everything, and this song is about, oh, my man is off to work and I'll wait at home for him. When he gets home, he'll entertain me and we'll watch movies together. La, 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 la. And she didn't write this, which is pretty obvious.
No, she did not.
It's not a Sheena Easton song, but it's one of her biggest hits, unfortunately. Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, it doesn't match her.
Maybe that's why I never connected with her. Maybe just the topic. But yeah, it is what it is. And it's a great song.
It's like, it's not on brand.
Oddly enough, the songs that she's most associated with, she didn't write either. They were all written by Prince. So go figure.
Right?
Oh, well, yeah, he was a big fan.
Went to a good source, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
right.
Next on our list is by one of the most famous song duos of all time, and that is Private Eyes by Hall & Oates.
Another Creeper song. They're watching you.
I know.
They're
it's exactly.
What the hell was with 1981 and all the Creeper stuff?
Could you think of a consecutive couple months where there wasn't a new Hall & Oates song that was a top hit?
Oh,
they
no.
They were beasts.
Matter of fact, there's another one on this list.
Oh, that's right.
I know. That's not the only Hall & Oates song, right?
No, they're the only group on this list twice in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, somebody might have been in the 1 week category, but they're certainly the only one on our list that has at least 2 weeks or more.
I remember the video for this because MTV was brand spanking new when this happened.
Brand new, right. Yep.
And I always thought the video looked kind of cheap. I mean, it did, right?
They always did. The Hall & Oates videos were always weird looking.
Yeah, but that's because they hated making music videos.
Yeah.
And so they just said, look, we got to do this. They found a place that was cheap. They had a certain amount of time. They're like, okay, they did it on the fly and just said, okay, great.
Poor John Oates always having to wear the super short kids outfit from Miami Vice. That poor guy. See, like, he's just strumming the guitar in the background. Doesn't give a shit about that video ever.
No.
And Daryl Hall's out there with that one swinging arm dance move thing that he would do, kind of like the Carlton from Fresh Prince a little bit. Oh, man, you could tell they hated doing those videos.
They were trying to put something visual to the theme of the song, which is like, they're like this juxtaposition of all the machinations and the tricks and the games you play inside of a relationship, but also, like, if you're a spy, all the tricks and subterfuge you have to pull.
All those damn eyes, ghosted
and
in the mist and everything.
And kind of, right.
Trench coats.
It's like, before they figured out what a music video could be, it's just, oh, that's whatever the song's about. Let's get in trench coats, right?
Like the damn Maneater song that they did later with the Black Panther strolling around in the come on.
Get it? Like, he's eating a guy. Get it? Maneater. You get it.
Yeah. It's a Maneater. I get it.
Perfect.
Oh, man. Okay, so the last one for this segment in our 2 week number one hits is Rapture by Blondie.
What a lot of history about this song, right?
Yep.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, one, I was a big Blondie fan back then because she had, she was obviously huge in disco. And they said this is one of those kind of crossover-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And so this song, also, there was a girl I liked that really liked the song, too. So, what are you going to do?
Well, that didn't hurt. Yep.
What are you going to do,
Did she dress like Deborah Harry? Because that was a big thing in the 80s, like dressing like your pop icon person that you were infatuated with. Mm-hmm. Like, people would dress as Madonna or Prince.
Madonna, you got the fingerless mesh gloves, right?
You don't see that these days. Like, I don't see people running around dressed like Nelly or whoever the hell's popular right now.
I don't know. That may not be a bad thing.
Now, if we're talking about Rapture, we have to call out the fact that this is the first number one hit song that had rap in it.
Mm.
Is that crazy?
There had been other hits, but not number one. This is the first one. And it's the most ridiculous rap ever. The Man from Mars, eating cars, eating bars, going to stars. What the hell's up with the Man from Mars? It's ridiculous rap.
It was like, how many words end in ARS? Let's put them all in the fucking song.
Let's put them all in this song about Rapture for some reason.
Right. Did you get raptured into the bar where you were eating cars? Is that what happened? I no clue.
But it was a gimmick that absolutely caught on, and it made it novel. It's like, have you heard that weird song with the talking in it? And people that didn't know what rap was would hear it, and that sure didn't hurt it.
Yeah.
They said that a lot of like the big people who actually made rap where it is, they said this was like the first rap song they ever heard on the radio. Like a first song with a rap in it.
Yeah, because it's so mainstream. Yeah.
And she mentions one of the pioneers of rap, Fab Five Freddy, right? And they're in the video. Yeah. Like she walks in front of them at one point when they're on that real weird little set. It's kind of like a Hall & Oates set, but even cheaper.
Yeah, probably the same
if
set.
You can imagine. Like it looked like something off of Sesame Street, and she's walking around and there's a car there and there's the guys in the background and they're snapping their fingers. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Now I'll pay to see some Muppets rapping this stupid rap. That'd be fun.
You know that this was actually Blondie's, I think this was like their last number one hit, I think, was this song. Huh. Yep.
Wow. I mean, I know that they only had one or two other songs that I personally heard of, and that makes sense because I didn't really listen to disco music in the 70s because I was brought up on country music more. But yeah, I didn't really hear too much from them.
You mean you weren't exposed to it?
I mean, no. I had the vaccine.
Just like his country?
I got the Bee Gees beta blocker, for sure.
Ooh, okay.
Well, now you see what you want to be. Just have your party on TV, because the man from Mars won't beat up bars where the TV's on.
Travel through the spectrum of today's sound on KTEL's Dimensions with Rick Springfield, Pablo Cruz, Pat Benatar. Dimensions with Hall & Oates, the Manhattan Transfer, and the Stars on 45. Energize with Billy Squire and Juice Newton. Dimensions, part of KTEL's Sound Celebration, available at these and other fine stores.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!
We're about halfway through our list now, and now we're up to songs that were on the number one spot for more than 2 weeks. It just gets better from here, working its way up. Mm-hmm. The first one we have is the second one that came directly from the soundtrack of a major motion picture. It was on the Billboard Hot 100 number one spot for 3 weeks, and this is Christopher Cross with Arthur's Theme.
After hearing this song, I have to go back and rewatch that movie.
Right?
Really? I don't.
No. In the good Arthur's movie, not the piece of shit 2000 one.
Really? Arthur was a great movie. I love that
movie. Because there was that damn remake.
Oh, that was terrible.
Did they remake it?
Yes, they did. It was that bad. Yeah. You don't even know that they remade it. That's how fucking bad it was.
That makes sense.
Certain movies should just not be remade. And this is one of them.
And I like Russell Brand. He's a fine actor and he's a great comedian. But Jesus Christ, leave Dudley Moore the hell alone, man.
Okay, we're digressing.
True. But the song that totally Christopher Cross did, which is what we should be talking about, as Mo pointed out, was really awesome. Best That You Can Do, From the Moon to New York City. I mean, some of those lyrics are just priceless. That's awesome.
He came up with that while he was stuck on the tarmac in a plane.
What?
He was stuck between the moon and New York City. He could see the moon out the window. He was stuck on the tarmac. They were delayed. He even told the stewardess when they got off, "Being on this flight inspired me to write a song. You'll know it when you hear it." And that's all he told her.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, and the song won an Oscar, I think, for best song, didn't it?
That makes
sense.
That's
right. It won an Oscar. It absolutely did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That means it beat out Dolly Parton's 9 to 5. They were both in the same year.
I call shenanigans. Much better song, 9 to 5. So
it turns out because of the Oscar calendar, this was actually Christopher Cross's song won for the following year because of where it fell, because the movie came out late in the year.
Right.
Dolly Parton's was in the year before was nominated, 9 to 5, but it lost to Fame.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be hard to argue that one. Yeah.
So yeah. There you go.
If those two were up against each other, Dolly Parton beats Christopher Cross. But Fame, that might beat 9 to 5. That was an iconic song that spawned a, you know, the TV series afterwards and everything, because nobody gave a shit about that movie. That movie was not that great. But the song was awesome.
Well, and it's very disco-y, so Mo liked it a lot. All right, let's move along to the next one on our list. This also was on the Hot 100 for 3 weeks. And this is, you alluded to it earlier, George, this is another Hall & Oates jam, Kiss on My List.
It really sounds like you should be saying, like, Kiss My Ass on this list, but that's not the title of this song.
No, not at all. If you listen to this song back-to-back with Private Eyes, it's almost the same song. It's like they were cheating. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a similar bass line, and similar chord progression, but I didn't care. Kiss on My List is still awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I always thought this was, for years, I thought it was Kisses on My Lips.
It's very misunderstood, yeah, right?
I always thought that, and I was like, oh, I was wrong.
You know, I misunderstood so many lyrics from 80s songs. I don't know if it was because my ears were young or I was impatient and all I wanted to do was sing along with the song, so I just made up whatever I thought I heard as I was singing. But I did that all the damn time.
That's okay.
I rarely got a song right all the way
through.
You
were talking, Mo, about the fact that it is a misunderstood lyric. So many people think this is a love song. About it's how, oh, I can't wait to kiss you and you love everything about you and your kiss is on my lips and all that kind of thing. But it's actually like an anti-love song. It's like he's listing his favorite things and your kiss is one of the things on my list that is fantastic. It's not like elevating his partner. It's saying, yeah, I love this too. It's another one of the things on my list. It's not saying you're the greatest thing ever. You're just another thing that I love.
That sounds an awful lot like you've got some personal experience that's biasing
you against
the song. That sounds like some girl said, John, your kiss is on my list, but so is snorkeling, so fuck off. I'm going swimming.
Now, while that didn't exactly happen to me, you get the point. It's just, it's a list of things he likes. It just happens to be you two. Yeah, you're cool. You're right, I guess.
Oh, man, that's funny.
I just see John getting rejected in high school now. Damn
Wait,
it.
Why are you bringing back terrible memories? Don't do that to me.
John, your kiss is on my list.
Is it the top of your list? No, it's just, it's down there a ways. All right. Let's move this thing along. Moving on. This one was on, we're really cranking them now. This was on the number one spot for 4 weeks.
Wow, a whole month.
Ooh. Yep. And this is a Beatle come back to haunt the charts again with another hit. This is John Lennon with Just Like Starting Over.
Falling in love again, it'll be. Just like starting over. Starting over. Every day used to make me glow. Why can't
you know, it just dawned on me. This has to be not too long before he was assassinated.
The day the song was released was the day that Chapman bought the gun that killed him.
That's right. Yeah, I'd read that trivia too.
Oh,
crazy, right?
Crazy.
God, that's awful.
So on that depressing note, I have some good trivia though.
Right. Do you have anything nice to say about this song, Mo?
So, do you know that was the first single that he released in over 5 years?
Really? Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. This is 81, right?
Yeah,
so. Right. Beatles were over. He was off doing his own thing, kind of living in Manhattan. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm.
I wonder, how long had they been separated as a group at that point?
10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it'd been a while. It'd been a while.
Yeah, at least 10 years. I think the Beatles broke up in 70.
And did we have any other songs of his that hit number one after this?
Yeah, Imagine.
Remember.
Imagine.
Imagine was
Imagine,
after this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was released posthumously. Yeah, it was.
I thought Imagine was before. Okay, gotcha. All right.
Yeah. Man. But, you know, and of all the songs on this list, this is probably my least favorite. Not a huge John Lennon solo artist fan myself. It's good, it's quality, but it's not one that I go back to time and again. If I'm going through on Spotify and Starting Over comes on, I'm like, meh, next. I just kind of sit past it. Maybe I'm doing a disservice, but it's just not my cup of tea.
If I'm going to listen to a John Lennon solo song, it's going to be Imagine.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, fantastic. Not this.
For me, it'd probably be the Christopher Cross song because I'm like, oh, easy listening. It just screams.
That's
the
one you would skip?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gotcha.
Like, I'm in an elevator, the song comes on. That's what I would hear.
Yep.
Christopher Cross definitely pioneered Muzak, I think, without knowing that he did.
You can take his music, take out the lyrics, and it's perfect for the elevator.
Yep.
Pump up the volume and let the music play. It's Absolute 80s.
In the name of love, yeah.
Absolute 80s is packed with almost 2 hours of top hits from 24 of your favorite artists. Get these two brand new CDs free with your paid subscription to Entertainment Weekly.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
It's time to hit the big hitters on the number one hit, Hot 100 hit list. Can I say the word hit any more times in a sentence?
You have to. If you're talking about hit music, you have to say hit four or five times.
These were hits, that's for sure.
These were hits, absolutely.
And these were all hits for longer than a month, right?
For longer than a month, absolutely. I mean, no more two-week or three-week shenanigans here. These are songs that start at 6 weeks on the number one spot on the Hot 100 Billboard list. I mean, in 1981, that was pretty crazy. I mean, songs lasted 2-3 weeks usually. That's why we had so many kind of tied for 2 and 3 weeks. Yep. But 6 weeks? Woo!
Yeah,
but
that's crazy.
I will say this song is very deserving of that 6 week spot. It's Physical by Olivia Newton-John.
All right. Man, yoga was all the rage.
Well, this wasn't even yoga. This is jazzercise, man.
No, I know. You're all right.
Aerobics. This is the whole aerobics. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole fitness trend. Right, all that stuff. And I remember the video, and they try to hide the fact that this is a song about sex.
Yeah, I know.
Having it, and it's so in a much gym, is. And there's all these fat guys that she's not attracted
to. And they've
all
got leg warmers on and headbands.
I associate this song with the film Perfect with her and John Travolta. Do you remember that? Right on the same era,
absolutely.
I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh. You know, this song came out, I think it was like a month or two after MTV debuted.
So it played the hell out of it, didn't they?
They played this thing. Because it was like an early, fully produced music video, right? Because a lot of them, like the Hall & Oates ones were like,
right.
Yeah,
this was not the Hall & Oates production, no.
No, like they had character actors and background people. Yeah, they had all kinds of stuff.
Although the set was just some exercise equipment, but still.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, Olivia Newton-John, you know, she was easy on the eyes. I didn't mind looking at her over this whole thing.
No, and she was coming off of some starring film roles. She had been in Grease a few years earlier, right? She was in the movie John's Talking About Perfect with John Travolta.
Yep.
Again, one of her movie partners, you know. I mean,
which is basically a jazzercise movie, right?
Yeah, right.
Right.
But this song, Let's Get Physical, John's right. It definitely was all about sex, but because it didn't get filthy with the lyrics, it could appeal to a huge audience. Like, my mother loved this song, had no clue what it was about.
Oh, I know.
Well, if you didn't listen too closely,
exactly.
If you know the lyrics, well, there's like a lyric that goes, there's nothing left to talk about unless it's horizontally.
Horizontal.
I'm like,
yeah.
Ooh, goodness.
Mm-hmm. It's like that song, Afternoon Delight. Everyone's like, oh yeah, a great song.
Sure.
And everyone's like, wait a minute, what's that about?
Oh, what a great folk song. Oh, it's about having a good time. Yeah, it is. Right?
Oh, yeah. That's a video though, Physical, that's just so 80s. You would look at that, you just say that's 80s.
Oh yeah,
it's neon, it's leg warmers.
Bright, neon colors. Yep. Yeah,
oh yeah,
absolutely. It was awesome. And there's no bigger contrast to that song than the next song on our list. The next song
Slow
on our
jam.
List stayed number one for 9
wow.
weeks.
That's crazy.
And it was actually one of the first hit songs for one of these artists as a pseudo solo, like he had left his group at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Endless Love by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie.
And I want to share all my love with you. No one else will do.
You may yawn. yawn, John. You may yawn.
For being the number two song on this top 13 we have, this song is a snoozer. It puts me to sleep.
It's a great song. You didn't have a girlfriend at this time. That's your problem. She took your Kiss off her list, and then this song came out. And that's why you didn't like this song.
That's right. She wouldn't get physical. Oh, yeah, all those problems. Yeah. So why is it
so
beloved?
It's a beautiful song.
It's beautiful, right. But
it's a beautiful song. And number one, it was a part of an iconic film, right?
Yeah.
Right, but same name, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's kind of like 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton. It was also a very dark film, which I thought was perfect with the lyrics and the style of the song. It was the whole song. You know, we talked about the creeper vibe in some of these other songs.
Mm-hmm.
This song absolutely could be interpreted that way. And especially if you see the film before you hear the song, you could definitely understand this is Stalker gonna kill myself and your whole fucking family, because that's kind of what the movie was.
I knew the reasons I didn't like
it. Yeah, you have two Motown icons singing this song together, Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. It's hard to find a better duo.
Oh, power duet. I respect the talents and I respect the writing, and the song doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry. I can't do it. But I respect the 9 weeks.
There's no poetry in his heart.
9 weeks at number one, I respect.
Yeah, I think this was back in the time. John, you probably know more about this than I do. Mo, maybe you do as well. These songs were determined for the number one spot, I think, by how often they were played on the radio at that point, or was it by
radio,
how many
radio
records
play?
Had been purchased?
It was radio, radio play. Time.
Yep. Yeah, so that's something that isn't a thing now, I would think.
Yeah, they switched it to sales at some point.
They would have to, right? Because how do you... I mean, you're going to get all these services, Spotify and whatever else, to
tracking
give you all their
that.
Stats and everything. And
I mean, I guess I'm not sure how you would know. Like, I wonder how they do determine it now.
It's got to be by sales.
It's how many YouTube subscribers is all it goes by.
How many YouTube subscribers?
How many hits do you have on social?
How many likes?
Right. How many followers? Oh, you're number one. All right.
But think about that. For this song to be on the top of the charts for 9 weeks, how much airplay did it have to have to
do
that?
It was constant.
Yeah, probably twice an hour at least on every station.
That's
sort of, you know, maybe that's the problem. Maybe I just got burned out on this song. Maybe that's why it doesn't do it for me. Maybe I heard it too much.
Yeah, that's true.
And you would think, if that were true, though, a lot of these songs would have that problem, but
yeah. Yeah, especially the next one, right, George?
Yeah, the next one, I mean, not only was it number one on the chart for another 9 consecutive weeks, it was also number one at the end of the year on the Hot 100 Billboard year-end chart. This was the top song for the entire year.
Good.
Deservedly so.
And that is Betty Davis Eyes by Kim Carnes.
Mm-hmm.
She's got Betty Davis Eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis Eyes.
Oh, this is one of those earworm songs. Like, once I hear it, and it goes off the radio, and I walk in the store, and I'm still Betty Davis. I mean, I'm singing it the whole time. It's so good.
Yeah.
The guitar riffs in this thing.
This is what I never get tired of this.
Man. Thing. Yeah. This is one of those songs I'll be driving down the road with my family, and it'll pop up on my Plex app because it's in my Plex server, and I'll just be jamming to the song, and my kids will be looking, "What the hell are you doing?"
I'm like, "And who's Betty Davis?"
Yeah. Who is that? Yeah. Who are you talking about?
This is one of the best songs ever. What are you, crazy? You can't understand. This doesn't affect you right away, and they're like, no, not really.
No. You know, I'd never heard this back in the day. I don't know if you guys had or not, but the vocals, the Kim Carnes vocals in this are so cool. They're like raspy, and it's just really getting into it. And apparently many people mistakenly thought it was Rod Stewart singing.
Really?
What? Yeah, I never heard that, but I read it in several places that it was often mistaken. Not like a mistaken lyric, but mistaken artist, because they said it sounds like almost a falsetto Rod Stewart is equivalent to Kim Carnes in this song. And if you squint your ears, you can hear it.
If you squint your ears.
That's right.
If you squint your ears. And
I don't know. I could see this style of song being Rod Stewart, because he was certainly known for this type of power ballad kind of music. But Kim Carnes is incomparable in this song. I don't think that there was anybody more associated with a particular song than she is with this song on this list.
Yep.
And the only reason why I say that is because Tommy Two Tone is not on this list with 8675309.
309, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think she's a one-hit wonder. I think she had other hits. I'm not 100% sure, but...
Oh, she did, yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Not this big, I don't think.
But not this big. Yeah. Not this, she would make the top 100, maybe, but not anything like this. For sure.
You know what I didn't realize at the time was that I always associated Bette Davis with like the black and white era. And I didn't realize that when this song came out, Bette Davis was still alive. She was around.
Mm-hmm.
She got to hear this song. And she wrote letters to Kim Carnes and the songwriters to say that she was a fan of it and to thank them because it made her cool in her granddaughter's eyes because she had a song written about her.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that nice?
Actually, it's funny because when I heard this song, my dad's like, you know who Bette Davis is? I was like, yeah, she's an actress. I knew she was like an old-timey actress, right? With quotes around it. And he's like, just shook his head and we went out and went to the Blockbuster and he rented Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Sure.
I watched it because she was known for her eyes.
Mm-hmm. And now you get it.
And I was like, the song is like even cooler.
Yeah, I wonder if this could have been like in one of those Daryl Hall, John Oates songs where her eyes were focused in the background. Her eyes could have been in every one of these music videos. I mean, she was iconic, and this was an iconic song dedicated to her.
I love that about it. And it makes people remember Bette Davis even more so, because not only from her film work, but like you said, people get exposed to who the hell is Bette Davis or what, and then you find out more about her. It was almost like a love letter to her, and it cemented her in pop culture beyond even her film work, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
She'll unease you just to please you. She's got Bette Davis eyes.
Five great players, the Harlem Globetrotters, introduce another winning team, the Quintet, the new portable component system from JVC. A metal tape cassette deck, a powerful amplifier, four-band tuner, and two full-range bass reflex stereo speakers. And when you're ready to hit the road, the JVC Quintet snaps together so you can carry it anywhere. The Quintet from JVC. Five great performers that play perfectly together.
If there was anything in this show you'd like to learn more about, the show notes which accompany each episode are full of links to click and explore. Catch up on past episodes and get pinged every time a new one's released by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know, iTunes reviews help more than you know, so if you haven't yet, please rate and review us in the iTunes app. And if you have a friend who isn't yet listening, why not? Tell them about us, they'll thank you later. You're our fourth listener, and we'd love to read your emails right here on the show, so hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And finally, Gen X Grown Up is more than just this podcast. Our YouTube channel has hundreds of videos ready for you to enjoy, plus you can find our entire body of work on genxgrownup.com. Not every one of them might have been beloved by every single one of us, but I think we can all agree this is a great lineup. What a playlist this is to put these 13 songs together and such a slice of 81. Oh man, this has been a lot of fun. Before we wrap up this show, we'd like to take just a second here toward the end to give our huge heartfelt thanks to all the folks that support us financially over on Patreon. And I'm talking to you... Dan, Misso, Mark, Stu, Monkey, Steen, David, Ben, Agile, Dana, Levi, T2, Chet, Slomo, Blasteter, Stash, It, Matt, Davis, Jonathan, H, Adam, Mike, C, Jason, Chewbacca, Thomas, Tony, Marcus, Chad, Butterspider, Lee, Arlem, Greg, L, Travis, Sean, Shelby, and Greg Z. Oof. Each and every one of these folks give a few bucks every single month to support what we do here on the podcast, over on YouTube, and on the website. If you would like to add your name to that roster and support independent content creators, George, tell the fourth listeners how they get that done.
I am happy to do that, sir. All you have to do is go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon or patreon.com/GenXGrownUp. Once you're there, you just create a free account. Then you can decide how you want to give more to get a little bit more from us. But John, that is not the only way the people who listen to this podcast can support us.
Ooh.
They can head over to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And we have now been authorized by the YouTube giants to include a brand new button on our videos. It says join.
Ooh.
You click that, you can become a YouTube member for $2.99 a month.
Yep.
And you get all kinds of fun stuff there as well. All these little icons and little tags and whatnot. And that member list currently includes Misso, Mike M, Stubaka, Mike B, T2, Blasted and Stashin, Doc, and Marcus. Thank you guys so much for becoming some of our first YouTube members.
Love them. I want that list to get much longer so George and Mo have a lot of trouble reading that list. That's my goal.
I had plenty enough problems getting started with that list.
That was plenty.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, lots of ways to support us if you're into what we do. Thank you so much for listening to this show. We will be back in 2 weeks with another Backtrack, but next week with a regular edition portion of our show. And until then, I'm John. Mo, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, man, always fun.
George, you know I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
And fourth listener, it's you we all appreciate most of all. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washy shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. In this episode, we're going to remember some of the top it's a bad hit.
Thing. Yeah, keep going.
And blooper number two.
Blooper number...
Sorry.
Mo decides to interrupt John in the middle of his tease.
That's okay. Well, he was just disparaging disco, which...
And Mo gets pissed about disco. I just said some shit about the Bee Gees, and I thought I was going to get cut.
Shit has it coming.
Sorry. Keep going.
I mean, number one, Deborah Carey, an incredible vocal talent. Deborah Harry. I keep saying Carey because I keep thinking of Harry Carey from the Chicago Cubs, and that's a completely different voice.
That's a completely different person.
That's not the same person.
And the Maz from Mars.
Oh, my God. That would be hilarious.
George, last time you had a great idea on how to plug the Patreon and then segue into the members.
I did?
Yeah.
What was my idea?
Yeah, that's, it was your idea. Let me tell you what it was.
Okay. But John, that's not the only way that R54 fuck me.
That's not the only way to fuck me. Hold on. Okay, good.
All right, here we go.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.